Chapter 8. The long Swedish Christmas begins on the first Sunday in Advent. "Just what is Advent?" asked Nancy one evening as she and Grandma and Grandpa sat talking about Christmas plans. "It is the time of preparation for the coming of the Christ child," said Grandpa. "The time to get our homes and our gifts ready for Christmas. And most of all, the time to think about what Christmas really means and why we celebrate it." "The four Sundays before Christmas are called the Advent Sundays," said Grandma. "Perhaps the girls have told you that they always come to us those Sundays for the lighting of the Advent candles." "Yes," said Nancy, "and to hear the stories and the Christmas songs. Elsa told me. She says it's beautiful." Grandma smiled. "We'll have our own family here as usual this year, of course," she said, "and invite Alex and his mother, and Ben, too. And I thought that, since there are four Sundays, you four girls might like to each take one and choose one person you'd like to have as your special guest that day." "Oh, won't that be fun?" said Nancy, and went to bed thinking about it. When the Carlson girls came up after school the next day, they were as happy as she had been to hear about Grandma's plan. "I know," said Helga. "I know right off the person I want. John August." "But that would be more than one person," said Sigrid. "He couldn't come all by himself." "Oh, dear," said Helga. "It seems as if a baby ought to be invited. The little Christ child was a baby." "Helga is right," said Grandma. "And for John August, we'll make an exception. We'll invite his mother and father, too." "Thank you. Thank you, Grandma," said Helga, running to hug her. "Which Sunday can he come?" "We'll wait until you've all chosen," said Grandma. "We'll have to see which Sunday is most convenient for each of the guests." "I could ask some girl in my room at school or in my Sunday school class," said Sigrid. "But the trouble is, if I ask Clara, then Grace will think it's funny I didn't ask her. And if I ask Sophie, Mary will wonder why I didn't choose her." Elsa was having the same kind of trouble, but suddenly she had an idea. "I know," she said. "I'd like to ask Mr. Sanborn. I'm sure he's the person I choose." Mr. Sanborn lived next door to the Carlsons. He had hundreds of books in his house, and sometimes he let Elsa come into his book room to read. There were no children's books there, but she found a great deal to interest her anyway. Mr. Sanborn said she was a real bookworm. "Do you think Mr. Sanborn would want to come?" asked Grandma. "Oh, yes," said Elsa decidedly. "He'd love to." Grandma looked doubtful, but she said that Elsa might invite him. "If he doesn't care to come, you can ask someone else," she said. "He'll want to, all right," said Elsa. Now Sigrid had thought of someone. "Wanda," she said. "She could ride with Uncle Sven and Aunt Martha when they come." All the girls were pleased to think Wanda was to be invited. Now only Nancy was left to make a choice. "Can't you decide?" asked Sigrid. "Oh, yes, I've decided," said Nancy. "But I don't know if we could do it." "What is it?" asked Grandma. "Tell us." "I'd like to have an animal," said Nancy. "Animals came to the first Christmas." "An animal," said Sigrid. "Not a cow, I hope," said Elsa. "No," said Nancy. "A dog. I'd like to have Danny." "Well, we'll have to think about that a little," said Grandma. "Of course, Danny would be welcome, but he is really needed at the farm, especially when his family go away." "That's just it," said Nancy. "That's partly why I want to ask him, because he always has to stay at home. Oscar can go on rides and visiting, but never Danny." Grandma smiled. "I'm sure he'd care to, and besides, what would Teddy do? Danny is a strange dog to him. Teddy might be scared, or at any rate feel that Danny shouldn't be here." But now all the girls were thrilled at having an animal guest at the Advent candle burning. "Danny is so good, Grandma," said Sigrid. "Teddy couldn't be afraid of him." "And he's never, never been away in all his life," said Helga. "And animals all love each other at Christmas," said Elsa. "Teddy and Danny would lie down together like the lion and the lamb." "You are little monkeys, all four of you," said Grandma. "We'll see. We can't decide about Danny until we talk to Uncle Sven." And she did talk to him the next time he came to town. "What those children don't think of," said Uncle Sven, laughing. "I never thought I'd have to make plans for Danny to go out visiting. Let me think about it, and we'll see what can be done." And that was how it happened that matters were arranged so that Danny could be Nancy's guest on the first Sunday of Advent. Fred, who had cooked such good bacon for the sunrise breakfast in September, promised to bring his own dog to the farm that Sunday and to take care of everything until Danny came home. Mrs. Brown invited Ben to stay overnight with Alex after each Advent candle burning, so that he wouldn't have to walk home alone in the darkness. It was, of course, much too early to put up the Christmas tree, but on Saturday, Uncle Sven brought in some evergreen branches which Grandma Nancy arranged in the sitting room. Grandma set her four-branched candle holder on a table near the wall and put four white candles in it. "We will burn one candle each Sunday," she said, "and when the fourth candle is burned down to the end, then it will be Christmas." Grandma made both rye bread and white coffee bread on Saturday. This, with cold meat and cheese, coffee, and cocoa, would be their Sunday night supper. The children made little Christmas decorations from spruce twigs and red ribbons for the dogs to wear on their collars, and a red necktie for Teddy. "Be sure to tie Teddy's loosely," said Grandma, "so that if he gets excited, it will come off all at once and not hurt him." "I'll watch him," said Nancy, "and if his necktie bothers him, I'll take it right off. We want everybody to be happy at Christmas." The candle was to be lighted at 4 o'clock. A little before that time, Nancy and Grandpa got Oscar and Teddy ready. "See that you behave yourself, young man," said Grandpa, picking Teddy up. "If you don't, out to the barn you go." Teddy stuck out his tongue and gave Grandpa's nose a quick lick. "See," said Nancy, "he's saying, you wouldn't send me out to the barn. I know you wouldn't." Uncle Sven, Aunt Martha, and Danny were the last to arrive, and it was not Teddy who caused the trouble. It was Oscar. He had stood up on his hind legs to look out of the dining room window when he heard Woe Emma's wagon coming. When he saw his friend Danny, he was so happy that he was almost frantic. He came rushing through the kitchen like a small whirlwind and knocked over Helga and one of Grandma's flowering pots. Helga was not hurt. After her first surprise, she got up laughing. But Grandma's plant pot was broken and the best blossoms were knocked off the plant. In all the excitement, nobody thought to look at Teddy until Nancy suddenly remembered that she had promised to watch him. He was sitting in a corner of the kitchen with his eyes blazing and his tail twice its natural size. When Nancy came close to him, she could hear him making little growling noises. "It's all right, Teddy," she said. "Danny won't hurt you." "Come, Teddy," said Uncle Sven, with one hand on Danny's collar and the other held out toward Teddy, while Grandpa held Oscar to try and keep him quiet a little. But now it seemed that Teddy was not in the least afraid of Danny, nor was he intending to attack him. Teddy was interested only in Oscar. He and Oscar had been brought up together since their kitten and puppy days. When they were tiny, they had often slept together in the same basket. As they grew older, Oscar still wanted to be near Teddy, but Teddy had not wanted to bother with a lively dog and seldom paid any attention to his friend. Now, however, another animal had appeared, and Oscar was making the greatest possible fuss about him. "Whose dog is Oscar anyway?" Teddy seemed to be thinking. At any rate, he did not go to Uncle Sven, but straight to Oscar. He got as close to him as possible. "Well, for goodness sake," said Grandma, "I do believe Teddy is jealous." All evening, Teddy, who usually paid so little attention to Oscar, wanted to be near his old friend. When all the people had gone into the sitting room, Uncle Sven called Danny to come and lie down beside his chair. Danny obeyed instantly. Oscar followed and lay down as close to Danny as he could get. Along came Teddy and settled himself beside Oscar. When Danny moved a little nearer to Uncle Sven, Oscar moved nearer to Danny, and Teddy snuggled more tightly against Oscar. "Poor Oscar," said Aunt Martha. "You'll be squeezed into a sausage between the two of them." Oscar didn't mind. He looked completely happy. "It's just the way Elsa said," Helga kept telling everybody. "All animals are friends at Christmas time." As Grandma got up to light the first candle, Grandpa read from the Bible the verses with which they always open their Christmas celebration. He began, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." The children did not understand fully the meaning of all the words he read, and he did not try to explain everything to them. When he had finished reading, he said only, Although the light of the candles is an important part of Christmas now and on Lucia Day and at Christmas time itself, it is not the candles that are the real armor of light. It is, instead, the love and kindness we shall try to show in all this Christmas season, so that we shall have, in everything we do, the real spirit of Christmas. Then he turned to Uncle John. "Shall we sing now?" he said, and Uncle John began to sing an old Swedish Christmas carol. Nancy watched the candle, the only light in the room, as they sat there singing one lovely carol after another. Sometimes they stopped singing and talked about Christmas instead. After a while, Grandma got up. "We will get supper now," she said. They went into the dining room, but the candle still burned on. "When it is all burned down," Helga told Alex and Ben, "then there will only be 3 more Sundays until Christmas." The animals got up, too. Danny began to feel at home in his new surroundings and wandered around the house. Oscar, of course, was right beside him, and Teddy beside Oscar. When Uncle Sven took the dogs for a little walk after supper, Teddy, who usually couldn't be persuaded to go out on a cold night, had to go too. Grandpa and the children watched them from the window. Danny walked on one side of Uncle Sven and Teddy on the other. Oscar ran round and round them, barking his happiest bark. "They are such good friends at Christmas," said Helga. When the good friends came in again, everybody gathered once more in the sitting room. The candle was only 2 inches high now. "Candle," said Elsa, "please don't burn too fast. We want to stay a long time." Grandma read the Christmas story from the Bible. The Carlson girls always asked for this every Advent Sunday. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." After the story, they neither sang nor talked. They sat quietly for a while, watching the candle. Then Uncle John began to sing again, and the others listened until the candle began to sputter and crackle, and the flame went out. "Only 3 more Sundays to Christmas," said Helga, jumping up. "Shh, shh," said her mother softly, and Grandpa, pulling Helga close to his knee, added gently, "And may the glory of the Lord shine upon us all to help us keep this Christmas season." And now began a very busy time. There was all the regular work for the grown-ups and school for the children, but every spare minute was used for Christmas preparation. The Crimson Ramblers were getting a box ready for Nancy's mother in the hospital and one for Ben's grandmother. Most important of all was the box they were going to pack for Ben's friend Dick. "I wish we could send him a wheelchair," said Alex, "but a wheelchair cost far too much." "He will be glad of other things, though," said Ben. "He will be glad to have packages to open. It would be fun if he could have more packages to open than any other kid on the block." "Will some of them have many?" asked Elsa. "No, not many," said Ben, "but a few may have 3 or 4. "Then Dick should have 12, said Elsa. "Does he like to read?" asked Alex. "Yes," said Ben. "I used to let him take my library books." "Then I'll send him one of my books," said Alex. "We should each send him something of our own," said Sigrid. "What?" asked Helga. "We should send him something we want ourselves, not just something we don't want anymore," said Sigrid decidedly. "If we each bought or made him something and then gave him some special thing of our own," said Elsa, "that would make 12 presents." Mrs. Brown said she would pay for sending the box to Dick when it was ready. "One thing I wish," said Nancy, "is that we could think of some present to give the little house." The other girls agreed that that was a wonderful idea. "But what could it be?" asked Helga. "What could you give a house nobody lives in?" asked Sigrid. "We could make a Christmas wreath to hang on the front door," said Helga. "Somehow to have a wreath on the door and nothing inside just seems to make the house more lonesome," said Elsa. "Well, let's keep thinking," said Sigrid. "Maybe something will come to us." There was so much to think about and so much to do that the first week of Christmas was far too short. "We'll have to hurry faster than this," said Sigrid, "or we'll never be ready." To Elsa's delight, Mr. Sanborn said he would be happy to come to the burning of the second Advent candle. His coming made that Sunday one of the happiest of all for the grown-ups and the children. He had traveled a great deal and had even been to Bethlehem. He had seen the very place where the little Christ child was born. He had seen the fields where the shepherds watched their flocks and the road along which the three wise men had come to bring their gifts. He told about it while the Advent candle was burning. Sitting there as the room grew darker and the candles shone more brightly, the children were thrilled with his story. To Grandpa and Grandma, it seemed one of the loveliest things that happened all that Christmas season. While supper was being prepared, the children gathered around Mr. Sanborn. Although he was Elsa's friend, she seldom had a good chance to talk to him, for she had promised her mother she would never disturb him when he let her come into his book room to read. Now she wanted to tell him all about the little silver house and to ask his advice. She had great faith that Mr. Sanborn knew practically everything. He listened with interest to all she had to say. When she had finished, he said he had heard about the Cranes, but he didn't know that old Jacob had made a will which prevented the family from selling the house or even from renting it. "It's not the first time, though," he added, "that property has been tied up by some foolish will." Elsa told him, too, about the picture Mr. Taylor had found. "We do want to know what the little girl's name is," she said. "Can you think of any way to find out?" Mr. Sanborn said he didn't know whether or not he could find anything out about the house or about the picture, but he would do his best, and if he did learn anything, he would let them know at once. "We'd like to give the little house a Christmas present," said Nancy. "It looks so lonesome." "But what in the world would you give a lonesome house that nobody lives in?" asked Sigrid. "Well, now, that is a question," said Mr. Sanborn. And just then Grandma called them to supper. After supper, Grandma told about some of the things she had done as a child in Sweden at Christmas time, about the Lucia custom and the long dance of Christmas Eve and the early morning service in the church on Christmas Day. "And of course," she went on, "we always remembered the animals, too, at Christmas, with extra oats or a bone or whatever they liked best to eat. And we always put our sheaves of grain for the birds." "There," said Mr. Sanborn, "there's the answer to your question about what to give the little house, children. You could put out grain for the birds, and they would come and be near the house, and it would not be all alone at Christmas." "That is the most wonderful idea anybody has had yet," said Sigrid. The other children agreed. "But when can we do it?" asked Alex. That was a problem. If only the little house weren't so far away. "You'd need to begin right off," said Grandma, "so that by Christmas the birds would have discovered the grain and be used to coming to the house." "Maybe," said Aunt Martha, "if all you children helped provide the food, Ben would take care of the feeding." "Oh, would you, Ben?" asked Alex. "We'll use some of our Christmas money to buy grain, and maybe we can save crumbs, too." "We will," said Elsa, "and we'll plan our Christmas money all over again to take in the birds." "Will you do it, Ben?" asked Nancy. "All right," said Ben. "And tell us if the birds come," said Sigrid. "It surely is lucky you came, Mr. Sanborn," said Elsa. Now the candle would not burn much longer, so it was time for the Christmas story. Uncle Sven read it this time, and it was in the minds of all who listened that their guest had really been in the country where all this happened. After the story, they sang, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and once again an Advent candle went out. Now there were only two left in Grandma's lovely Swedish candle holder.